Broadcasting from the underground and going where the rest of the media fears to tread. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box on Omnisound Radio 1.net.
Welcome to our inaugural internet broadcast of Outside the Box. I am your host, Alex Ansari, and I'm very pleased to be here online to take you where the mainstream is extremely compromised to go. We here at Outside the Box go where they are afraid to journey, where they are afraid to venture into the arena, into the area of what is taboo, controversial, and dare we say, controversial. I'm here in studio with Clyde Lewis, notoriously known as the host of Ground Zero Radio. How are you, Clyde?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad to be on your inaugural broadcast. I know that you were very excited to get online, and I think that you know, being on this network is a good thing, too, and I'm very happy to share the network with you. As a matter of fact, I have a show that I do on Omnisound Radio 1, and when I heard you were going to be jumping on board, I thought that's what they need to hear. They need to hear a younger perspective, a younger mind, especially one that has been at the forefront with his own independent show and talking with some of the great guests that, you know, a number of major talk shows talk with. I mean, you've talked with Jack Blood, you've talked with Alex Jones, you've talked with many of the well-known writers and many of the well-known controversial newsmakers that, you know, they don't go to just anywhere, but they end up on your program, and I think that's amazing. So it's good to have you on.
Well, Clyde, that's what's fascinating about some of the work that you do. In fact, you know, I told you before, you know, when I first clicked on, you were here locally on 1080 at one point in the Portland, Oregon area, and
right.
You were talking about a lot of things that I was not hearing on Lars Larson, that I was not hearing on Rush Limbaugh. And I remember one night on a dark and stormy winter night of all things, you were talking about the coming police state, the coming RFID technology,
sure,
that we're talking about here today on the show.
Right. And what was interesting about it at the time, a lot of people go from, when you're talking about these topics, when you're talking about RFID, identification chips, things like that, a lot of people worry that it is the mark of the beast. I don't know if it is the mark of the beast per se, but what I am worried about is the integration between man and machine and how our relationships, how machines are not necessarily, I guess you could say, predictable. And so if we allow ourselves to be chipped or otherwise cataloged or monitored, I think it'll lead to some problems in the future. And I think a lot of people think that it's going to protect us when in reality it could ruin us. I think that it ruins the possibility of ascertaining spirituality. And I think what it boils down to is, you know, you remove the spirituality in people, you make them more like machines, and we will act accordingly. We will act like machines, maybe even slaves to the machine or to the system, which is something that a lot of people fear.
Clyde, I think that one thing that you and I together and many others have begun to realize is that once we begin to start to discuss some of the issues that we talk about on Mad as Hell TV, mm-hmm, Outside the Box,
right,
Ground Zero, Ground Zero Lounge, there's a cost sometimes that we have to pay. Go ahead and let some of our listening audience know, you know, what's some of the costs that you're going to have to fight through once you decide that this is the kind of information that we're going to relay to the public.
Well, I think that the problem that a lot of people face is when they hear you and I talk about it, many times they don't listen completely, or they don't study or look up what we talk about. They don't find key phrases. Sometimes they take our word for this, which we say, don't take our word for it. You have to go and explore it yourself. Many people will say, well, this is what Clyde says, or this is what Alex says, or this is what, Art Bell said, or somebody. And most of the time, the information can be faulty. I mean, we are human beings, and we can come up with information, and sometimes the information is bad. So what needs to be done is we give you some of the cake that you can eat. You need to find that icing that solidifies the truth that is in you. The idea that I tell people is that a lot of the time in the media now, we do not find honesty. The truth is out there, they say. That was the old mantra from the X-Files days. The truth is out there. What you need to understand is that it's not just the truth you're looking for. You're looking for honesty. You're looking for someone who is going to be honest with you, that will always try to give you information that will help you. information that will help you on your journey and get you to think. A lot of people don't take time to think things through. They take for granted that your media, NBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, CNN, they take for granted that the media is going to give you information that you can use, when in reality, the information that the media gives you now is more or less public relations propaganda. I come from a background of news. I worked at CNN. I worked at Metro Networks for a while, which is Westwood One. I worked at several other news organizations. And one of the things that people don't understand is that a lot of what you get on the news is a PR campaign. Somebody from a PR group is, I guess you could call them a fisherman. And they go and they lay the bait out there and they wait for the hooks to be taken by the news media. So if they give you information, that information is taken from a public relations source, and then you got to hunt down who is responsible for the public relations source. So if you notice in the media, a lot of what you're seeing now is all paid for commercials. A lot of it is. I mean, since when is the guy who wins The Apprentice, the TV show, the reality show, since when is an interview with him newsworthy? It just isn't. But they make it so they can say, okay, we're doing a cross-promotion with the show The Apprentice. It'll be coming on after our newscast. Be sure and watch it. Or does Sue going to get the rose from the rich guy who's going to marry her on this reality show called I Married a Rich Guy? And that kind of stuff is not news. That kind of stuff is not important to your well-being. It doesn't reach your heart, nor does it reach your pocketbook, nor does it reach any of the things that we were taught as newscasters, which was important to deliver. And another thing that isn't being done is it used to be that newscasters were responsible for investigating or keeping, I guess you could say, the empire honest. They say that the power of the pencil or the power of the pen is mightier than the power of the sword. That's because if you could expose what the hierarchy was doing, then you pretty much could keep the government in check. Well, right now, you've got a news group, you've got news people who are being mouthpieces for the government. They are the cheerleaders. They are the ones that are protecting the government and protecting their faults and their fallacy. And this is, I mean, George Bush, when he comes up and he speaks, instead of saying, well, this is what the president said, and basically hitting it home and continually telling you this was wrong, they kind of let it go, and they let things go, and whatever the White House says, it's like ex cathedra. It's almost like the White House is the Vatican now. Whatever they say is a blessing. And it's kind of creepy where we right. get into that type of AmeriCult attitude.
Well, over this last Thanksgiving break, I took a lot of time to do some investigations of my own into what the media was actually saying, what all the networks at the same time were talking about, and what I began to really realize firsthand. I always knew it, but it's one thing when you sit there and you watch mainstream television, all the channels at the same time, we're being given a script, basically, well, put it bluntly. I mean, we're seeing yeah. the same fear, the same advertising of this police state control grid.
It's a blueprint for police state, and what they're doing is they develop the fear factor. They raise the fear factor, the fear to a very, very, I guess you could call it a fever pitch. Once you're in that state of fear, there is something that happens called the knee-jerk reaction. And so when they have a crisis, they develop their own crisis, they tell you about the crisis, and then they say, okay, what's the solution? And they already have the solution in the planning stages. What they want you to do is to say, okay, what I want is more police in my neighborhood. I want more shows about the police state. I want more people getting their doors pounded in with battering rams. I need the meth taken out of my neighborhood. I need all these evils they tell you about.
For a lot of you who are new to this idea, what we're talking about is a thing called problem reaction solution.
Exactly.
And that is when either a problem is created or it's magnified, and they're deciding to, we're gonna cone in on scope on this particular topic, say kidnapping, for example.
Right.
And through that, fear is generated. Then we have the reaction that, as we're seeing right now, through fear.
Well,
more allowance that they give all,
exactly.
all rights. And then they offer the solution.
To the point of you're talking about, we're talking about kidnapping. You just brought up kidnapping. That was a trigger for me because I wanted to address that. The kidnapping thing, we want to have a database of children, we want pictures of them, we want their fingerprints, DNA if possible, give them a swab in the mouth, and we keep their DNA. And then the next thing they'll be saying to you is, we want to chip your child. They're already saying, chip your pet. Do you want to lose your pet? In fact, I saw a commercial just the other night. You know, are you worried about your little pet being lost? Well, here's something you need to do. Buy this chip, inject it painlessly under the skin, and your pet will be, you know. And what it does is it has all your records. It has your name, phone number, whatever.
We're talking about an infomercial here.
Yeah, well, it is. It's basically selling you on the idea of being cataloged. First, they do it to the dogs. They'll do it to the dogs first. They'll do it to the babies next. And then they'll do it to you. And how do you feel about an invasive or intrusive procedure such as putting something the size of a grain of rice in your body that can be used as a transmitter to track you?
Well, a lot of people aren't going to go that route. They don't trust that. And it doesn't mean that if you don't go for the chip, that you need to let them categorize you into some right-wing nut Christian maniac.
I really don't believe, you know, a lot of people, I hear this from everybody saying, well, I won't go there. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it. And the reason why I don't believe it is because I guess I'm far more cynical of people in a sense that if you're given a reason, or if you have someone present to you something that is keen to the intellect, which is appearing to be keen to the intellect, people will buy into it. Anything can be sold. Peanut butter sandwiches to people in the desert. Ice to an Eskimo. It can be sold if somebody's doing the right selling. And if there's a great enough fear, if they create a need for this, if they say, like, for example, Hurricane Katrina, I remember one of the things that was pitched saying it would have been a lot easier to get the bodies and identify the bodies in Katrina if they had chips or barcodes on them. So all they have to do is scan a toe.
Absolutely.
Or scan a hand, and they go, oh, well, we don't even need to do dental records. It's easier for them to collect the dead and the dead bodies if you have a chip in your shoulder or a chip in your arm or whatever.
Excellent point, because what really disturbs me, Clyde, what disturbs me is that they've tried to sell the idea of chipping, the surveillance society, the police state control grid, whatever you want to call it, to protect us from terrorists, so-called like 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we are beginning to see, which bothers me, is that it's the idea of convenience, that this is something that the government is not putting its thumb on the American civilians, demanding they accept the police state. Many people are accepting it because, and the surveillance society, because it's convenient. Things will be smoother. We'll get through traffic easier.
You'll be protected a lot
better
if you have a camera on you. The thing about the camera idea is they say, well, if we put a camera on this parking lot, if we put a camera here in this neighborhood, it'll deter crime. It won't deter crime. Crime happens. I mean, what was going on with Katrina? We had cameras on people looting stores. Now, did it prevent the looting? No, it did not prevent anything. Did it prevent the rapes? No, it did not prevent the rapes. It's just one more way Big Brother can snoop on you and keep an eye on you. Now, yes, there would be times when it would work, and it does work, but always remember what the Surveillance Society has brought us.
Right.
The Surveillance Society brought us the Rodney King riots. Remember that, okay? When we had a man who was beaten in Los Angeles, and it was on camera, as we saw the police beat him on camera, the trial was unfair because already we had an advantage with the camera on the guy that was being beaten. So what happens? We submit the evidence of the man being beaten on camera, and what happens? The verdict is in favor of who? Not the person who was beaten. The verdict was in favor of the police. So when you have a police state, the verdict is always in favor of the police, even if you have a camera being put on somebody that's being beaten by a police officer. And when that verdict came down, what happened? There was a riot in Los Angeles, and that riot was another evidence of how they could mount the police state, and people after the riots happened say, we need more police to prevent this type of thing from happening. It's the old Hitlerian thing where Hitler once said that even if I lost the war, it wouldn't matter because they'd have to be fascists in order to beat the fascism that's coming. And so that is what's happening. There's fascism that's coming, or there's fascism that's here now, and we have to be more fascist in order to beat that fascism. So it's a never-ending loop of fascism. It's a never-ending loop of control. It's a never-ending loop of a police state, and the grid continues to grow bigger and bigger. As Eisenhower said, we should not allow ourselves in any way, shape, or form to hand over our freedoms to the military-industrial complex. And when the military becomes your police force, which it is now, when you have marshals on aircraft shooting people who are mentally ill, like the man in Miami that happened just recently, when you have that stuff going on, what you're seeing is you're seeing the police state. And what happened when that happened? They said he had a bomb. He didn't have a bomb. The witnesses said he said nothing about having a bomb, yet they shot him anyway. And the people on the plane said, oh, my God, the worst part of the whole thing were the CERT teams coming in and Kevlar putting guns in the back of our heads, telling us not to look as they shot a man.
Transportation is an interesting thing to discuss within this, and that is exactly precisely because because after 9/11, they created the police state by shutting down the airports. Now, once they start the airports up, it's like now you're under Homeland Security. You're under the Patriot Act.
Right.
There's checkpoints everywhere.
Right.
And many people are accepting that just because they want to be able to smoothly move in between point A and point B without any problem whatsoever.
Well, and notice this, too. And it just seems to me that the crises seem to happen when big things are happening. They're filibustering right now. The Patriot Act extension. They want to extend the time. It expires on December the 31st, 2005. And then 2006, it'll be gone. What we're seeing is when it first came about, when Bush first brought up the fact that we had to extend the Patriot Act, we had the shooting in Miami with this Alpizar guy, Ringoberto Alpizar, was shot in Miami. He was mentally ill. And the White House said, well, they were justified in doing this. Even though there was not an investigation, the White House said they were justified. Why? Because under the new regime, under the new fascist state, under the Patriot Act state, this type of stuff is okay. The surveillance, the spying on American citizens, which we'll probably get into in the next segment, the spying on American citizens. George W. Bush said, we've been spying on you, and we've been doing it for years. And I'm sorry, but we need to do it because we're protecting you against terrorism. He violated the Constitution of the United States. And why? Because he knows that the Patriot Act is violating the Constitution. And he knows that if we have one more element of terrorism in this country, one more element of terrorism, the Patriot Act will pass with flying colors. He is right when he said that he did not pressure anyone, no senator, no congressman, he didn't pressure anyone. After 9/11, they did vote for the war. I mean, after that traumatic experience, the knee-jerk response happened. They saw a crisis. They had the solution. And Bush always says, I only do what the American people tell me to do. That's right. The American people tell you to do it. The American people are telling you to do it. Why? Because they're frightened, and they don't know that if they just keep a cool head and they don't give it any knee-jerk reactions, that we'll have a better life. No one else responds to terrorism like we do. No other country on earth. There are countries everywhere that have terrorist acts every day. Israel, Europe. Every day there are terrorist acts. They don't declare wars on countries. They just don't do it. We do. That's where we're unhealthy, and that's where we're failing. And we also have created this police state, this police grid that we really don't need to create.
I think a lot of people, if they looked at the news, if they looked at real information without it being re-scripted and rewritten, the things going on today would not be going on. So what we try to do here on Outside the Box is take a look at the news without a corporate lens. And that is something that Clyde has been doing for a very long time now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Clyde and I are going to get to some of the documentation, some of the articles, some of the evidence that may not have been reported by Peter Jennings, Ted Koppel, at the time then or at the time now. In the meantime, keep it right here on Outside the Box, right on the OmniSound Radio 1 network.
You are listening to Alex Ansari's Outside the Box Online on the OmniSound Radio 1 network.
The truth will set you free, but first it's gonna piss you off. Announcing Ground Zero Lounge, hosted by Clyde Lewis. Learn the terrifying secrets and mysteries the networks don't want you to know about.
We are seeing our leaders using the police as their hired mercenaries. They have no other choice but to do it to keep their jobs. Now, they could put their guns down and say, no, we're not gonna do this, but it's gonna change. That is if we have this police state.
Government cover-ups, the ties to the occult, and catastrophic prophecy, and much, much more. Don't delay. Join the Real Patriots Town Hall Forum, where anything goes in this free speech zone.
We need to work together and bring about changes. We have lost track of what is really important in this world, and that's the frightening part.
Ground Zero Lounge, every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., only at Dante's, located at Southwest 3rd and Burnside in Portland, Oregon. For more information, visit ClydeLewis.com. So can you handle the truth? Are you sick of those other talk show hosts selling you the police state in Armageddon?
Sometimes you wanna be different.
Then click onto OmniSound, streaming you a fresh new wave of programming such as Ground Zero, Outside the Box, Ghostly Talk, David Oates, Exploits, and much, much more. OmniSoundRadio1.net. The future sound of radio is here. Now.
You're listening to OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box, on the Omnisound Radio 1 Network.
Welcome back to Outside the Box Online. Now, Clyde, when I have discussions with people about some of the things that we're talking about, you know, they may not have a real grasp on the concept of this push towards what we talk about being the New World Order or the world government.
Right.
And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that their news coverage, whether it be NBC Nightly News or some of the alternative press, is not focusing on what I would call these core issues. The very same core issues we're about to get into that are sometimes left on the back of the wire or compiled on some sort of internet website.
Well, the reason why a lot of the people, you know, the mainstream do not hear about these things is because the Pentagon has managed to hijack the media. Hollywood has to be approved by the, you know why movies get rated, right? They get rated because the Pentagon and the rating committees have to see if this is a message they want to get out to the public. That's why independent movies get unrated. You know, they don't get ratings. It costs a lot of money to get these ratings done. So when you have an independent film come out, a lot of the times it doesn't get any distribution because it doesn't have a rating. And it has to have a rating because it has to have the approval, the kiss of approval from the government. And the Pentagon also has plants and PR campaigns and all kinds of things in the United States media. In fact, there was a story. There was a story that was out recently in the USA Today. They're now telling us right under our noses. A story from USA Today. It says, a $300 million Pentagon psychological warfare operation includes plans for placing pro-American messages in foreign media outlets without disclosing the U.S. government as the source, one of the military officials in charge of the program has said. They are planting in foreign media pro-American propaganda without saying that the American government or the Pentagon is the source. They just don't do it. In foreign lands, they do it in the United States. And that pro-propaganda, that pro-media propaganda, that $300 million campaign the Pentagon is doing, is basically saying that there will be Christmas specials showing the White House at Christmas time. There will be specials set aside where, have you ever noticed now that you're watching television shows like 24?
Uh-huh.
And in the television show 24, they talk about
right.
how here comes the government to rescue uh-huh. from the evil terrorists. Also shows like CSI. Who would ever thought?
And Boston Legal. Programs like
it's
that.
It's all about law. It's all about death. It's about, oh, so what happens to your body after you die? It's all about, this is the kind of society we're breeding, a society of death and law and cops. What is cops about? Mm-hmm. Cops is entertainment, sitting in your own home knowing that your neighbor is getting his door busted down and his head bashed in by a cop. It becomes commonplace. Well, you have a CERT team in your neighborhood with their Kevlar on and they're and looking like military. You're used to it because you're watching it on television.
We are being prepped for what is being prepared to be rolled on through for the American people. Now, what is interesting about what you said about Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
there's this book called Operation Hollywood, which discusses, you know, there's a guy that actually worked in Hollywood that wrote the book,
mm-hmm.
how they will come and fund certain projects
sure.
if it paints the military in a positive light. What most people aren't aware of is that the CIA is not like the most a moral group. They're one of the most notoriously most well-funded organized crime syndicate in our country.
Well, they're a secret society. They're the CIA. They're the Central Intelligence Agency or secret society. They are involved with moving things around under our noses. Same with the NSA. The NSA has been spying on Americans for some time now. And it's funny because now the government can tell you. President Bush can get right up on his podium and say, "Sure, I've been spying on you, but it was for your own good." And yet no one excuses this. This is anti-American. This is communist. This is Nazi.
It is, and a lot of it's hidden in plain sight. For example, even CBS News, you know, you referred yourself a lot to like the media is eating itself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even they are admitting that CIA prisons, you know, the type of places where torture is implemented,
mm-hmm.
not in the United States, so they don't have to deal with any Geneva Conventions or legal loopholes. Well, now they're saying at one point, yes, there were detention centers also being placed in Europe. But now that it attracted the attention of European investigators, including this one, CBS News, they're now moving to Africa. The report says that a Swiss investigator probing claims of secret CIA prisons in Europe said his committee has evidence that supports allegations that prisoners were transferred between countries and temporarily held without any judicial world involvement whatsoever. And it also goes in to say that he believes that now now, clandestinely, these prisoners are being moved to North Africa in early November, when reports about secret U.S. prisons first emerged in the Washington Post. He did not provide any other details. Clyde, hidden in plain sight. That is extremely important that people understand this concept.
Well, and not only that, but before all of this was made to light, brought to light on CBS News and other places, and by this time, they've already discredited those who have spoken about them before. I remember back in the day, I've been doing my type of radio program, investigative radio program, for 10 years. And I remember back in the day, I was talking about some of the things that were on the horizon, torture camps, concentration camps, REX-84 program, watch lists, categorizing and cataloging people, and also the idea of spying on Americans. We had talked about something called the Echelon program, where they were listening in on conversations, and if you said the word terrorist or bomb or anything like that, immediately it would be looked at. Internet was even looked at as well. And we said the Echelon program is this deep NSA, CIA, secret spy ring to spy on Americans. And people say, why do they need to spy on us for? This was prior to 9/11, mind you. This was all prior to 9/11. The spying on Americans took place prior to 9/11. And yet 9/11 still happened, Alex. Mm-hmm. Remember that. They were spying on Americans for fear of terrorism, yet the terrorism still took place. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that 9/11 was a catalyst to bring about the police state, even though they were well aware that these things were going to happen. They were well aware of it. If this Echelon program, if the Pentagon was spying on Americans, as they say now, Bush is now saying, well, I had to do it for your own good. For our own good, my God, look where we're at now. We're 4 years away from 9/11, you know, 4 years away. And what happened now? They're increasing. They're taking away our civil rights. They're increasing the encroachment of the police state here. Here's an article right here. It says here, a secret 400-page Defense Department document obtained by NBC News lists that there's suspicious incidents across the country that have been looked into by the Defense Department, and that they've been looking in that Americans are being spied on. And when they meet together and they talk together about certain things, there are certain plants and people who are there watching these proceedings going on and making sure that nothing bad is being said against the emperor and the fact that he's naked and the fact that he is a criminal. Governments do this when they're committing acts that are criminal. They do this because they don't want you to figure out that they are criminals. Our government is full of criminals, and we need to understand that.
On the topic of Echelon, I was doing an investigation earlier where I talked with Galen Ross down in Austin, Texas, and he actually used to work for the NSA. And he told me and many others that, and this is public knowledge, the CIA, Echelon, Carnivore, all these networks that are linked together can recognize when someone is saying something subversive, mm-hmm. possibly against the United States government. And that in itself, because of the Patriot Act and things like that, and things that have been around before 9/11, can be picked up automatically through keywords that they listen for. And once you say those keywords, bomb, kill, destroy, president, something switches somewhere and it's patched through to a real live listener.
Well, now, you probably have a file on you. I know I have a file on me. I had an investigation with the State Department on me. My car's been bombed. I mean, there were a number of things that have happened to me in the past where, I'm considered to be a person who's, causing trouble. However, one of the things that was told to me by a person who worked for the Pentagon is he said that even though they listen to me, he says, if I keep true to myself and I don't demand a revolution, then they won't come after me. You don't want to be a revolutionary, but you do want to give people the information. And immediately they bring out people who basically say, I just want to let you know that this is all conspiracy theory, so pay no mind to it. But if you decide that what I'm talking about is reality, and a lot of people realize that, I talk about things long before they're reality, and when they do happen, they go, well, isn't that what you were talking about? I go, yeah, that was what I was talking about. Start listening to what people like Alex and Alex Jones, myself, Jack Blood, a few other people. And let me tell you this, too. Don't think that someone has a monopoly on this type of reporting. It needs to be a group of people. I know that, people like George Norrie and Art Bell think that they're so cutting edge, when in reality, they're pretty tabloid. And I think it's time when you start calling people on their crap and saying, look, don't broadcast stuff that isn't true. And when Art Bell started coming after the 9/11 investigators, I realized right then and there that he was basically making fun of his audience
and basically I think it was distasteful. I think it was wrong.
I think that one thing people need to focus on, Clyde, personally, without getting too extreme, if you will, is that it's not that we're calling for anarchy or some sort of violent revolution against the government, but I mean, you got to admit that things are getting out of control in the state of Oregon, in the state of New York. It really doesn't matter. In the whole of the United States of America, fear has swept the land. Now, for example, the Associated Press reported just last week that the U.S. terror watch list is now 80,000 names long. That's extreme. Now, you had mentioned earlier, in Katrina, for example, that would have been the very best time for a terrorist attack if all these cells were inside the United States. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. Now, in this report, it says that a watch list of possible terror suspects distributed by the U.S. government to airlines for pre-flight checks is now 80,000 names long, a Swedish newspaper reported, citing European air industry sources. The classified list, which carried just 16 names before 9/11 and Washington, before the attacks there in New York as well, had grown to 1,000 by the end of 2001 to 40,000 a year later, and now stands at 80,000. Now, Clyde, what scares me is, in investigating this, I picked up on a story about 3 months ago that said how babies were on this terror watch list, 8-year-olds,
right,
senior citizens, only because they shared the same name.
Well, and here's something to think about. You take a look at these terror watch lists for aircraft. You take a look at all of these things that you're seeing, plane crashes, people being shot at airports. What's going on is, and you don't have to be a genius to figure this out, they have been tipped. And there's going to be another terrorist attack, or there's an attempt at a terrorist attack within an airport or an airline. They're not going to stop with airlines. And another thing you need to look at, too, is you need to look at all of the infrastructure, the open infrastructure that could be a target. Oil wells, gas stations, airports, places where there is open infrastructure. Where you look at open infrastructure, that's where the terrorist attacks are going to happen. And these terrorist attacks are not going to be carried out by Muslim extremists. The terrorist attacks will be carried out by criminal elements within your own government, and they'll be done so that they can solidify and guarantee that you will demand the police state grid in your neighborhood, in your state, in your country. And this is what you are going to be looking forward to. It's like Orwell said, the future will be a jackboot kicked in the face for the rest of your life. Now, you can prevent this, and you can choose to prevent it if you'd like. If not, just roll over, play dead, and let them deal with it, because it'll all be under control, their control.
A lot of people don't think that what's happening with the police state control grid and the surveillance society, that it's not going to affect them. Personally, not going to affect their family. Well, that's wrong. I mean, you can look at this report from HamptonRoads.com and the Virginian Pilot, that even it itself announces that fingerprint scans are going to let the Norfolk students check out books. You know, and it's really interesting, we talk about how the media is constructing all of these things, to really look at closely how the article is written. It's not there to alarm you or tell you something's wrong. It's there to tell us that this is good. This article in particular says that checking out library books isn't always as simple when you're in elementary school. It says, and I quote, if you have a card, it can get crumpled. If the card information is taped to a frozen treat stick, you can lose it. And for the librarian to look up your name on a computer, you have to know how to spell it. But at Chesterfield Academy of Math, Science, and Technology, these problems no longer exist. All you need is your finger when you go to library. Now, Clyde, the principal says this. He says he learned the biometric system for his advertisement, a billboard perhaps that he saw, and he wanted it because his school focuses on technology. Quote, I fell in love, White said. We should have the latest technology that's available. Listen very carefully to me. You can't fight a police state if the rest of the people around you are worshiping the police state. You can't fight propaganda as long as you have the network television hooked in and you're giving them ratings.
People embrace it. They embrace the propaganda. They embrace it all. And like I say, it's a matter of demand. And if people are demanding it, and if people think it looks good. See, it used to be when I was a kid, I was told what Russia was doing. I was told about the surveillance societies in Russia. We fought Vietnam. We fought in Vietnam to avoid the communist state, to avoid that type of state. And now the fascism. We fought World War II against Hitler and his fascist state. Technology is being abused. This isn't a Luddite plea here. This isn't us being Luddites and saying, oh, technology's horrible. It's the idea that technology is and will be abused
for the sole purpose of creating a police state surveillance society, keeping you cataloged, labeled, and numbered for their discretion and not your own.
Remember, they want us to believe that they can lock us all up at the same time. But the key to really winning this battle is they want us to believe that they can lock us up all at the same time. But we know that's a fraud. That is, if enough of us wake up, and a lot of you listening out there online want to be a part of something nonviolently. So when we get back, we're going to discuss some of those things, some things that I'm doing, some of the things that Clyde is doing, and some things that people that we know that aren't in the media are doing to fight this corrupt system. In the meantime, keep it right here on the OmnisoundRadio1.net. I'm Alex Ansari and Outside the Box. Keep it right here.
Alex Ansari, Outside the Box on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
You're listening to OmniSound. The future sound of radio is here, now.
9/11. Police state. Surveillance society. Media control. Slavery. New world order.
I'm Alex Ansari, host of Outside the Box. Join me each week as I reveal the war for your mind. Live, Thursday nights on Comcast Channel 11 at 7 p.m. Outside the Box takes you beyond the consensus reality and gives you information that is vital for your survival in the new millennium. Remember, Outside the Box, every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Channel 11 on Comcast Cable. Be there.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT, Union Carbide, and Exxon.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Beware of the big green dragon that sits on your doorstep. He eats little boys. Puppy duck tails.
Wide.
It's just eating land, just right and left.
It looked like a bomb hit. It looked like a bomb hit.
This is a terrible moment. This is a terrible moment.
There is no America. There is no democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT, Union Carbide, and Exxon.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
There is no democracy. There is no America. Very prophetic. I'd like to thank Clyde Lewis for putting together that montage.
Well, you know, you need to give credit to where credit's due. That was taken from the movie Network. Of course, Ned Beatty giving that speech to Howard Beale about there is no America, there is no democracy, that we are one big conglomerate corporation. The corporations make the rules, and that when Howard Beale spoke out against the corporation, he basically was treading on God, according to Beatty. So it was an interesting piece, and I thought it was relevant, especially when the film came out in 1976, as they were trying to warn us of what the future holds. Now Fox News exists, where they decide to, I guess you could say, love the corporation and help the corporation along by coming up with stupid stories and coming up with stupid ideas. And Fox News is the worst. In fact, if anything, people say, oh, it's the conservative channel. If anything, it makes conservatives look worse than they truly are. I mean, you know, conservatives can be bad, but they are neocons, and they're also neocon artists themselves. I don't think anyone believes half the crap they say.
I think now we're living in a time, Clyde, where more and more people are starting to see that Hollywood really is the mouthpiece, giving lip service for the Pentagon, for the White House, for the administration, and
they're
waking up
you.
To the fact that Hollywood truly is prepping us. Now, what I've noticed, and in my experiences with talking with people, taking phone calls, things of that nature, receiving emails, is there are a lot of people out there that are not buying the propaganda, they're not buying the lies, that will not go up for the war machine now.
Well, let me point something out before we go to the next break. Next thing. You're talking about how people are not responding to Hollywood. Have you heard the latest news? Hollywood is dismayed because of the fact that they are, I guess you could say, they had the worst box office. They've had a trend of declining box office, and they're saying they don't know why it's declining, but they say they're having declining box office, and they say, well, maybe it's because people would rather rent than go to a movie. It's not true. Propaganda does not, I mean, they're using propaganda in films.
Okay,
people are tired of the propaganda.
Let's just take a glance at some of the movies that they've kicked us over the past few years.
Okay.
We have War of the World, which is about the refugee experience. We have Star Wars, which has its good points because it kind of shows metaphorically what is happening in our government.
Right. Well, it's about fascist state.
Right.
What it was about the fascist takeover. Star Wars was about the fascist takeover. There are other movies, The Matrix, basically telling you that your life is not real, that there are things that are, you know, it's all an illusion, trying to tell us what may the truth may be. And they have, oh, God, there was a movie called Under Siege that came out a while prior to 9/11 that talked about the police state or the idea of urban warfare in New York because it was a terrorist act in New York where buses were bombed,
right.
Suicide bombers, and it was almost word for word what was said during 9/11. It's the most amazing film.
And let us not forget the X-Files with their very famous now Lone Gunman episode, which depicted a remote control airplane that was headed
for the World Trade Center.
The World Trade Center
exactly.
towers.
Exactly. And so, you know, these things are preparatory. The movie Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
People were laughing and saying, oh, it's far-fetched. We can't have tornadoes in Los Angeles. We can't. What happens? Tornadoes happen in Los Angeles. We had a hurricane that happened in Brazil, in the South Atlantic. That doesn't happen at all. I mean, Brazil was hit by a hurricane. That doesn't happen. It seldom happens. And so you start seeing these movies coming out. You start seeing what the future holds. I mean, take a look what the next season's movies are going to be about, and you can pretty much figure out what they're prepping you for. They're going to have The Da Vinci Code coming out soon. You're noticing that religion is changing its tune. The Catholic Church is talking about creationism and talking about whether or not this happened or that happened, the fight going on religiously. Religion is on everybody's mind right now, and they're trying to mix politics and religion, and people are fighting against it.
And what
some
I
people
noticed,
are for it, too.
And what I noticed during the fall break, during that, right before school started, right before all the new programming came up, we saw all these advertisements in the theater, on the TV, about the Book of Revelations,
oh, yeah.
about the coming Messiah. It's not to say that Christianity is bad. That's totally not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that it's not so much revelations of the Bible, but their interpretation of the Bible.
And you look at all the people. Tim LaHaye is one of the notorious ones. You take a look at the guy who wrote The Late Great Planet Earth. The guy who wrote that. They want to write about your future being dead. Okay, The Late Great Planet Earth says Armageddon's coming. Tim LaHaye, 144,000 go to heaven. The rest of you, sorry, you don't get taken. You get left behind. You don't get taken. And then, of course, there's a television show called Taken, where the aliens take you away. So we're talking about this ascension. We're talking about the descension. We're talking about there was actually a miniseries on television called Revelation, which we're talking about the birth of the Antichrist, the birth of the whatever. This type of stuff is called religious science fiction. It's eschatology. It's not reality. It's something that's been thought up in the heads of people to try and interpret what John was seeing in the Book of Revelation. And it's not something to sit and toy with. And our own president, Condoleezza Rice, first thing out of her mouth when they talked about Katrina, she came out of a church and they said, what do you think about this devastation? She said, well, Jesus Christ is coming again if we just are patient. You know, when they asked Bush, when Woodward was interviewing him, he said something to the effect, he says, well, we'll all, you know, it doesn't matter what we do because we're all going to be gone in the end. It's all going to be over with soon. You know, they're talking about this eschatological type of idea where there's going to be an ending of the world, an Armageddon, if you will. And they're going to nudge God to bring it. That's why they're having their wars in the Middle East. That's why they're doing all this weird stuff, is because they're giving God a nudge. And, you know, God won't like it.
I think one thing that most Americans have realized at this point is that our radio, our papers, our television, our movies, and Hollywood as a whole are controlled. Now, a lot of people want to get involved in some sort of movement, whether they call it a left movement or a patriot movement. I think people should put left and right aside, but that's a different show. Mm-hmm. I think people really need to be focusing their efforts on any way they can get involved, for one thing, in the media while it's there. That means reading what's on the internet when it comes from documented sources and talking with people about it. That means starting your own TV show. That means starting your own online network.
Or blogging or writing. And the first thing that people always say, well, what's the solution? They say to you, what's the solution?
What's the solution? They want an easy fix.
Well, I'll tell you the first solution. The first solution is what you and I are doing right here. You acknowledge that there is a problem, first of all.
And you speak out.
Yes. You acknowledge that there's a problem, and you have to also acknowledge that there's a problem with Christianity in this country, there's a problem with government in this country, there's a problem with the Republican and the Democrat side of things, the red state, the blue state side. The problem is division. The problem is that we are not united in thought and thinking about what our future is. So we need to acknowledge the problem. Second of all, we need to get rid of the differences. Your petty issues, your petty agendas don't mean a damn to the survival of you and me on this planet. It just doesn't matter. Your religious beliefs, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ, or whether or not you believe in Muhammad or Allah or anyone, it doesn't matter. That's the reason why we're in our problems in the first place. These fanatical Jews, these fanatical Muslims, these fanatical Christians are all fighting their Armageddon while everybody else is standing around going, hey, you know, we have bright futures and we want to make changes for the better and we don't want to watch these idiots hijack our planet. And that's exactly what they're doing. The minute we admit that our planet is being hijacked by a criminal element who wants nothing more but to push their agenda on you, when you start realizing this is what's going on and you set aside your differences, if someone says, hey, this is bad Christianity, don't say, well, you're anti-Christian. Don't say that. No, they see the problem. If they say, well, you know, this is what the Jews are doing, oh, that's anti-Semitic. No, you don't say that. What you say is, well, obviously, yes, everybody has their problems, and jerks can be jerks in any religion, any color, any creed. And what we need to do is we need to work together and be obsessed. Be obsessed with freedom. Be obsessed with not having the police state happen, because you have NRA people that are obsessed about keeping their guns, and they have Republicans and Democrats in their groups. You have the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They have Republicans and Democrats in their group who say that, you know, drunk drivers are evil. Well, why don't we start getting together and say, hey, our government is corrupt and there's criminal element in there and we need to eliminate the criminal element. Arrest the people who are committing crimes against our Constitution and against we the people, because we the people are strong and we can stand up to this.
When a lot of you out there hear the things that we're talking about and think to yourself, what can I do? Another thing that you might want to remember is that your entire life has been a script in terms of you are unimportant. Your little voices, your little opinions, your little ideas of peace and love are garbage. And my friends, that is the lie. It's a lie, ladies and gentlemen, when they tell you that you cannot change your world without the government into a more peaceful place. They've told us for a long time in their books and writings that the world would be in anarchy. This is one of the things that they believe. Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you can affect change. When you are embracing a thought form of peace, of love, of creativity, of everything that's pure and wholesome, when you come into this world without the added programs, the programs they add that make you fearful, doubtful, that make you worry, when you keep that purity that you bring into this reality, then you are powerful. And once you can recognize you're powerful, when you stay in your natural state of consciousness, then, and only then, you can beat them once you don't already add their programming and disinformation about who you really are into the mix.
That's right. And I think that you need to understand that you have a contribution and you need to avoid being a part of the propaganda and not buy into the fear, because that's what they do. They turn it up to a fever pitch. And even if it looks bad or feels bad or it's uncomfortable, it'll go away eventually. It'll go away. I mean, look, 9/11 happened. We haven't had a major terrorist attack on the United States again since then. But, you know, 9/11 was enough. It was so brilliantly constructed that it would be reflexively painful to say, well, wait a minute,
who's really responsible for this? And that's why a lot of people reject it. That's why a lot of people object to you even questioning, because it's so reflexively painful to even consider that all the governments, perhaps criminal elements in our government, perhaps criminal elements in the Israeli governments, the Saudi Arabian governments, even the governments of Afghanistan and Iraq, it's so reflexively painful to even think for 1 minute that someone in high realms of government that were criminals could have committed this act. And you need to understand that you follow the money and who benefits from these types of things.
I mean, we don't have to wait for a whitewash hearing to explain that, you know what, your government is lying to you, your government is attacking you. You know, even the BBC reported just last week that there is not even going to be an inquiry into the July 7th bombings. Now, without getting into all that, at least we can say with the July 7th bombings, the cameras and the surveillance society that London has did not protect them then, and certainly will not protect us now.
Exactly. You are so right, Alex. That is something that needs to be brought up. When the bombings went off on July 7th in London, they have one of the greatest and the biggest surveillance societies out there. It didn't protect them. It didn't protect them from terrorism. It happened anyway.
I mean, even Tommy Thompson doesn't even want to get chipped. Even Spy Chips report that, and he's the ex-Bush cabinet member that went to work for Verichip on their board. He promised CNBC, a correspondent there in July, that he would get a chip. And now he's saying, I'm not going to take the chip. I'm going to be on the board that tells the rest of the world to take the chip, but not me.
No.
No.
Of course not. They don't want to take their own medicine. And they will give you the medicine. I mean, you know, look at the things that are on the horizon here. You take a look at the flu. You take a look at all these things that they're telling you to be afraid of. Sure, we're due for a pandemic. We're due for an epidemic of flu. And it's going to happen. Trust me. It's going to happen because they want to make money off of it. They have created in a lab the very disease that's there to be unleashed when they feel they need to. And when they do unleash it, when they unleash this disease, police states will start up. Mm-hmm. They will want to protect you from those who are sick. It's called the harm principle, okay? And it's something that you need to be aware of. The harm principle states that if someone is going to harm you, they have no business in your place of being, in your home or anything else. And that's why they can decide who can be taken to the camps and who can't. And if you're thinking wrong, or if you're coughing or sneezing, or if you're belching or bleeding or whatever, they can single you out. Look what happened with people who had HIV, who had AIDS. Look at the information that came out and look at the way they were treated. Now the information has kind of subsided and people with AIDS and HIV are with us in society now. They're not as much of a pariah as they were at first. So what's going to happen with these flus and these diseases and this, you know, CJD and all this other stuff that's out there? It's all there to scare you. And it may not harm you personally, it may not come to you personally, but you need to be aware that these are the things they use to create that crisis. And they're hoping, they're banking on you to come up with a solution. And the solution will be a solution that will benefit them, not benefit you, but benefit them. So when you're taking your Tamiflu this year, always remember that Donald Rumsfeld is cashing in because he's on the board of directors for Roche and Gilead and all the companies that brought you Tamiflu.
Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Radio, everybody. Clyde, thank you very much for being outside the box.
It's a lot of fun, and I'm glad you're on the network, and I hope that people tune into you and enjoy your program because you have a lot of great information. You get a lot of great guests on your show. So, yes, tune into Alex. He's on.
Clyde, go ahead and let my audience know some of the projects you're working on, where you can be heard, and some of the things that your writings and things like that.
I continue to write on my website, ClydeLewis.com. We're going to be reinventing ourselves for the new year, doing some more in-depth stories on a lot of things. I mean, we do that. I've been currently working on quick takes, which are news items that we do on the Ground Zero time that we're on here on OmniSound. And also still working on the idea of doing a network show again, which is something that's always been in the works. We're still working on that. And it's going to happen. We were national at one time. We received national prominence. We've just been published in Rolling Stone as the best underground news online. And now with Alex involved and everybody else, I mean, we're going to be a news network. It's going to be getting this stuff going. I mean, Alex is just the beginning. There's going to be plenty of other people out there. The guys at Ghostly Talk in Detroit, they're really good guys. I've been on their program, too. They even got recognized on Coast to Coast AM, which I think is a remarkable thing. So, I mean, things are building. Things are good. And you're in the right place by listening to Alex. You're in that right place by listening to David John Oates and all the others. So please keep tuned in on OmniSound. It's a great place to be.
I think when we talk about solutions, Clyde, audience needs to remember, you all need to remember that the walls of control, of disinformation, of lies, of distortion, of corruption will not go away in one day, because they were not built in one day, nor were they built just and solely within the Bush administration. We vote with our dollars. We vote with our ratings on what we watch and what we hear. It's not about what Clyde is saying, or Alex is saying, or Jones or Jack Blood is saying. You need to check out this information for yourself. Verify it. Then, and only then, can you get to the heart of the matter, can you get to the truth. So if you care about programs like this, if you care about programs like Ground Zero, I challenge you to let at least one person this week know about what we are doing, and let them know where they can hear real information. That is, if they want to escape the Matrix police state control grid surveillance society being set up for them and their family. There's a lot of work ahead of us. Sometimes it's overwhelming, but remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. It's been wild. It's been crazy. But until next week, I'm Alex Ansary, reminding you, there's a war for your mind. See you next time. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
The government claims that they want to just give you a hand. Alex Ansary wants to give them the finger. Outside the Box on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.